The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Friesian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is running like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour two, and just answering Phil Bauer. let me try to get see if he can come over now, because we've got this window. was doing a couple too many things during the break. the mage guys pushing back. I've got to. All right, we'll see if what Phil Bauer, what's good for him, if he can come over now or if he wants to wait until after Team Mage. Back to the Preakness crowd, which is going to be pretty good. Again, let me go back to that and navigate the group. All right, Phil's going to come over now. Excellent. All right, so Phil is next, and here's your Preakness field. Mage and Forte, assuming everything is okay. I told you about Red Root 1 and Disarm, first mission. I saw Keith DeSormo actually this morning. At first I was going to try to do the show from the Backstretch Media Center, but that wasn't going to work, so we came back to the main building. But Keith said everything's fine right now. He said everything's good, and you've got to assume that you know, after being off 10 weeks, that served him well and move him forward. Arabian Knight and National Treasure, as mentioned, from the Baffert Barn. Blazing Sevens, Chad Brown, who's done very well with this gambit, passing Derby for this spot. Il Miracolo for Antonio Sano. And Henry Q, the Mind That Bird winner, is looking at coming in. That's the Del Mar Group, the fun Del Mar Group, which includes the UCLA coaches and Mark Burge and company. They're a fun bunch. And Doug, instant coffee for Al Gold and Brad Cox. So Cox with a pair, maybe Baffert with a pair, Asmussen maybe with a pair. Ravelli, I talked to Larry yesterday before he flew and then afterward, and he's saying possible for now. He got the horse. The horse got on the van early yesterday, got back to Chicago, and they're going to take a couple of days. But honestly, horses that run like Two Phils did, they are usually very tough coming back at Pimlico. So Two Phils would, what would that give us? 3, 6, 9? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. That's 14 right there, right? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So 13. That's 13. And then we'll find out from Shug about Perform, if Perform's interested in participating. And Brad Cox, actually, from Saturday afternoon, evening, to Sunday morning, kind of softened his stance on Hit Show and Angel of Empire. He said he gave kind of a very half-hearted, maybe put them on the, you know, on the possible list. And Chase the Chaos, who I mean, having really underperformed last week at, was it last week or 2 weeks ago at Golden Gate, I would be a little surprised if Ed Mosier comes with Chase the Chaos. But they did, you know, they got a free pass. They've got a golden ticket. So if they want to be included. As it happens, Shug, with Perform would have to supplement to participate. And it would be the six-figure, I think, supplement. So if they happen to supplement, it means that horse is doing great, because you don't write a six-figure check to supplement to a race, even, you know, a spot like this. $1.5 million and you know, classic black type. So we'll see. So anyway, there's your Preakness, and while we wait for Phil Bauer, let me also do a couple of little business type things. I've got a stack. The business, obviously, in terms of handles, was outstanding. Wagering from all sources, $288.7 million, which betters last year's record by a substantial amount, by $15 million, and that's with a 18 horse Derby. Wow. And actually the record for the Derby was even increased from $179 million last year to $188.7 million, and again, that's with a an 18 horse field instead of a 20. So, gives you an idea. Phil Bauer's going to join us, and you're going to laugh, because I was going to stop when this morning when I drove by, and you were holding the horse for the farrier.
Yeah.
Do you want the headset or the stick mic? Up to you. Yeah, it's not going to mess the hair.
No.
that's my stock answer. That never gets old, that line. There you go. That's perfect. You, Chuck Simon. Why are so many trainers bald, Phil?
People say it's a stress.
You think so? I'm sure you're right, actually. Of course you are. There we go. Perfect.
I think a lot has to do with my pedigree as well. So.
Yeah, grandfather.
grandfather, father.
Yeah.
It's not my mom's side, which everyone says it is, but my dad, people say I'm going to look just like him, so we'll see.
There is no doubt. I mean, certainly Friday, and then fold in Saturday, too, from the weekend. There was not a more celebrated or sweeter moment, I think, particularly, for people in the game and for people in and around the Downs and around Kentucky, than you winning a grade one, Mr. Rigney, and played hard. And boy, she was spectacular. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's, I think I've said it a few times, a true dream come true. And to do it at Churchill Downs and on Oaks Day was just pretty special, spectacular. And the mayor herself was just tremendous and had every right to back up and refused. And it was one of those races that you turn for home and you think, okay, we got a shot, and then you see all the closers coming at her, and let's hold on, hit the board, and then she's not done. Keep fighting. Come on, we got this. And then got her neck back up, crossing the wire, and seemed to be maybe pulling away, but it was just a pure celebration. Richard, I think you had about 60 people out at the track. Flew maybe 25 of them in for Oaks and Derby, and the rest were local, and we were able to watch the race all together upstairs with them, and the room erupted is an understatement.
Before we talk specifics about this Into Mischief mare and getting her here and winning this race at a square number, 19 pays just under $20, and we got to talk about Johnny V, and obviously you got Ron Anderson on speed dial, but we'll come back to that. I want you to talk about your hate this term, journey. It's so so trite, but your travail and your path in the game and getting to this point, getting with Mr. Rigney and having this opportunity, and it was the first thing you acknowledged post race. But explain to everybody your background and how you got here.
So I think opportunity is the key word in all of it. But I started as a child, fell in love with the game because my grandfather owned and bred some cheaper claimers, River Downs. And so I went to the races with him when they ran, and he had a farm out in Pee Wee Valley. And usually had about two or three mares that they would breed to local stallions in Goshen, Kentucky. So I don't think they ever dreamt of playing at this level, but, it's... I think everything in horse racing plays its role. So they were on the bottom level, and just it was something that I just fell in love with. And people would ask me, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? And I said, well, I want to be a horse trainer. I didn't know how or if it would ever happen, but that was my reply. And went the school route. It wasn't for me. Took a job with a business that my grandfather owned, selling semi-truck parts, and I guess kind of decided I'm just going to work for the family business. And they sold after I was there a year or two, and I really was working there more for the family than the dream of selling semi-truck parts. So I bumped into Mr. Richard Klein at the track on Mother's Day, which my older sister Julie had nannied their kids over the summers for a few years. So I knew the Klein family, and I said, hey, I'm looking to just get my foot in the door. And if you can, he was with Steve Margolis at the time.
Sure.
If you can say something to Steve, I'd love to just, start walking hots. And so got a job with Mr. Margolis, and a short while later, my uncle was working in the office for Kenny McPeak, and they said they need people up at Saratoga. So I jumped in the car and had never met Kenny, had never met anybody involved with it, but drove to Saratoga and started rubbing horses up there, and then came home to Churchill and was a foreman for him for a while and then assistant. So I think opportunity all along presented itself, and I found myself in the right place at the right time on a few occasions, and been pretty lucky. Met the Rigneys while I was with Kenny, and Richard and Tammy wanted to kind of do their own thing, so they hired me on as a private trainer, and have you know, sometimes people ask for things without realistic expecting unrealistic results, but that's not the case with the Rigneys. They swing hard every year at the sales and breeding and stuff, so this was such a joy to see for them. They've put so much in the game, and to finally get something of this caliber was truly amazing.
And you know, you've had your share, and when you think about channel marker, the inclination is to always say channel maker,
right?
But that Madison's Luna, mm-hmm. that did you have before or after?
That was after
Mike. So who had Madison's Luna? Didn't somebody have Madison's Luna first?
No, we bought him as a yearling.
Okay.
So channel marker was a claim that we had to turn out and give some time and brought back, and was fortunate enough to get a few runs out of him. He won the Jiper before it was the Jiper, but was our biggest win to date in 2015. And then Madison's Luna won the Hutchison for us, and then you know, we knocked at the door on a few other ones, but Plate Hard's always been one that you just, we saw her as a 2-year-old in Ocala, and Mr. Moynihan, who helps us buy our yearlings, he said, that one's going to take you to the promised land, guys, and he was right. And
unbelievable.
She's been a special horse to have around the barn, and very, very honest, and the way she ran on Friday was just a testament to her demeanor as a racehorse. I mean, she's a bear to train in the morning, but you know, I think that's the factor when you're buying horses. You see their confirmation, you see their pedigree, but it's hard to predict their desire, and she's got it, and it was on display Friday.
This is a mare that must have been book three, maybe?
It may have been book two, but yeah, she wasn't a book one, and we were surprised to be able to get her for the 280. When we purchased her, she was a little tight in her hindquarters, I think maybe from being swimming, but needless to say, we fell in love with her, and we're fortunate enough to be able to purchase her, and I think that was before the market kind of really has done what it's done in the last few years. It's I guess inflated like everything else right now, but you certainly would like to buy a whole lot of them for what we gave for her with the pedigree that was already there.
Well, and on that regard, anybody will be familiar, I imagine, with the dam. Well-lived, the Tisnow mare of the Kasners, mm-hmm. and Susan Kasner listed as the breeder, a full sister to Well-Armed.
Right.
And a half to Witty, mm-hmm. and so this is being an Into Mischief alone, yeah. it makes her a valuable broodmare. I mean, the residual value now as a Grade One winner, this goes right into Mr. Rigney's program, and you'll train her babies.
We hope. I think the goal is to eventually get enough quality mares in place that you don't have to chase horses at the sale for, you know, $500,000. You know, the most expensive stallions out there right now are three and a little below it. So if you can breed them instead of have to buy them, not that it's easy or guaranteed, but I think the key is the good mares, and he's certainly trying to invest those, buying the young fillies at the sales the last few years, and we're excited about the broodmare band.
What was what was notable about this performance? You know, she won the Fall City, last year, and so bringing her off of the layoff in a grade one, and part of the dialogue, frankly, of this race was that, you know, Chad Brown was bringing search results back in a grade one, and basically, you know, from the inside, you knew that she was going to have to, you know, light out of there. She's always wants to be involved, if not on the lead. And talk about the maneuvering that landed Johnny, because Joel Rosario ends up, I think Joel ended up on Pauline's Pearl, who Johnny had ridden in the Beholder Mile. And so this has got Ron Anderson's thumbprint all over it.
Yeah, you know, I guess the credit goes to Mr. Rigney for us running in the race. We talked bringing her off the layoff of maybe waiting to the Shawnee on June 3rd. And
she's just a listed.
I think it's a grade three.
Did he get a grading?
We figured, obviously, grade one was the goal of the year. But as she trained along the last 6 weeks, he was out here one morning, and she worked in company with a pretty good filly, Coppelia, that we have, and handled her way too easy. And we kind of looked at each other and said, well, let's really think about this. And then he was the one, you know, he's usually the one that he's ready to swing. And so we entered, not expecting to see a near Breeders' Cup Distaff quality field show up, but they did. And so I reached out to Ron and just told him, hey, we're probably leaning towards going ahead and running. And he said that he was probably going to have to ride Steve because he rides Clarier, and it was more of a political type deal, you know, just couldn't tell him no. But he said Johnny's mare retired, Malathet, and Joel's going to have to ride Clarier, and I'm sure these two fillies are going to have to face each other at some point, so why don't you consider riding Johnny? And he came and worked her twice and seemed to like her enough, and I mean, it's Johnny V, so
why not?
It all came together, and when we drew the one hole, she's always showing pace, but it seems like sometimes if you ask too much of her early, she tends to kind of grab a hold of the bit there and doesn't want to come back to you as easy. So that was, he had it in his mind in the paddock that he was going to let her run, and I said, she's going to take you there, just don't ask her because she'll be hard to get back. I said, if you can get out and sit on the speed, I think it'll be all the better. I thought her Locust Grove was probably her most impressive performance last year, and the La Troyenne was kind of a replay of it, and able to get the horse that laid the pressure on the outside going to the first turn. Kind of, we did a little switcheroo, and it was a surreal quarter mile there coming down the stretch just to see her fight, and we were stuck in an elevator trying to get to the winner's circle, so we had no idea there was an objection. So we came out, and Johnny's off the horse, and I said, what's going on? And I think by then it was pretty much already decided they were going to leave it as is.
Yeah, so that was a non.
I thought so. When you watch the head-on, the contact occurred when Secret Oath kind of leaned in, and we drifted, but I think you have to drift and engage, and especially when a horse is looking like it's going to blow by you. So it was textbook Johnny V.
I was watching, and we could tell, I don't know, mid-stretch, she's winning this race. The way she was traveling, it became obvious. And she does like this track. I mean, this is her sweet spot.
Yeah, no, I mean, she seems to run really well out of her stall. You take her up to Saratoga, and she does the same. I think she just kind of brings her game anywhere. The Keeneland race was a weirdly run race, the Spinster last fall, so I don't know if that was a true display of what she was. Plus, it was short rest, and it was more, we knew we were going to skip the Breeders' Cup and go to the Fall City, so we thought, let's wheel her back, and we think we're good enough to get grade one placing then, and then focus on the Fall City while everybody kind of butts head in the Breeders' Cup. So I guess the year-end goal this year is just to march forward to the Breeders' Cup and figure out the best way to get there.
Well, personal ensign has got to be on the absolutely on the agenda.
I think so. You know, we might stay home and point towards the fleur-de-lis closing meet weekend here. I think it's July 4th or something like that. And then maybe head up there for the personal ensign. But everything's got to go our way, just like anything else in horse racing. But she came out of it really well, and I think we just got to maybe space her races right to make sure we're fresh at the end of the year.
And on that topic, it does occur, is a race like the Zenyatta maybe to have her run over the track at Santa Anita, get her out there and...
You know, I think that's always a good idea to have her run, but it seems like not only would you know the track, maybe is she going to handle the ship? I mean, that's the biggest thing.
Has she never been on a plane?
No. And it's a different story now that they're without text. So
Scott Blasey and I were discussing that post-Derby, as it happens. It came up, and he made the same point. He said, without Tex Sutton, it's gotten to be really problematic.
It's you know the difference of taking a direct flight as opposed to where you got to make a few stops and layovers, and it's more taxing on you. And if you can get on a plane and go to your destination, it's a lot easier. So there's definitely some more hurdles to you got to do to ship now. So maybe it's a good problem though when you that's what you're worried about. You have to ship to run.
Exactly. Exactly.
Maybe we can get something going again where it seemed more beneficial, in my opinion, just from what we've done in the past. Now, I've never shipped here recently, so I'm just talking from hearing what other people say. But
well, you'll deal with that as it comes. You mentioned going to Saratoga. And the success up there, you've had now protracted. You've become one of the dangerous guys coming into town for the summer. And you and Ashley are popular winners anywhere. But and you and I talked about this last summer, about just coming in and poaching victories, I mean, on a regular basis.
No, it's a special place, and it's similar to our Churchill meet. We kind of target it and try and have our best bullets ready to fire. And it's I don't think we could have guessed the wins that we would have had up there last year. You know, you go up there and you're happy with 1, 2, maybe 3, but to have 6 winners and have them run the way they did was a lot of fun. And you run hard this meet because one of our goals is trying to compete for the owner's title, and you always wonder what's going to be left, and it just seems sometimes the cycles with Richard being willing to give horses the winner off, they're not particularly worn out. They're kind of sometimes just getting rolling. So I think a lot is just per horse and where they're at in their training cycle, and certainly we had some really good conditions up there last year that always helps when you don't have to face tough stake company and your 2-year-old maidens. But
you won maiden special, you won maiden claiming, you won allowance races. Pretty much everything you sent out was live, and you did run you ran another horse in the Alabama, right? You run in the
Scratch
Alabama
Cat
2 years in a row with her and with Playdard, and then with Scratch Cat last year,
right? Yeah, no, that's a fun race. It's we thought last year, I guess, we were the pace with Played Hard, and then last year we were hoping for pace and really didn't get it with Scratch Cat. She seems to be a victim, needs something to run at. But she ran respectively with a fourth, and she's a decent little filly herself, so we gave her the winner off as well, and she hopefully will have her start here at this meet.
She's just starting back. She's got 3 recorded works.
Right. Yeah,
she's
gone a couple half miles, and these horses that already had a lot of races under the belt seem to kind of round back into form easier than some of them that hadn't.
And just looking that dam of hers rings a bell, Wave Theory.
Yeah, she. We bought her. It's kind of funny because at the yearling sale she had
Chad Brown. That's
she had stitches say. And all over, and they said that, you know, she had run through a fence or something. But
they're always doing something stupid.
So you figure it's a one-time deal, but she's got her quirks for sure. So, you know, we always tell ourselves when we run across stuff like this, maybe we need to make mental notes next time. Stitches are kind of a no, but she's got a lot of ability, and I think she's similar to Played Hard, that maturity is going to help, and certainly Arrogate. That was a bad deal to lose him early, and we actually purchased a few more yearling fillies last
Arrogates.
Year by Arrogates that we are really excited about. They're still in Ocala, but they should be coming up here soon.
Well, and so those will be collector items for the Rigney Broodmare Band. You never know about those problematic babies there, because there's great stories sometimes about ones that ended up getting not hurt but marking themselves up. There's a famous the famous story about Carson Hollow. The Purdy's, I think, right? The Purdy's that are from Ithaca. And she's getting ready, they're getting ready to put her in the sale. And she ran through a plate glass window.
Oh, wow.
And was all cut
just
up.
She
got cuts, yeah, she's got cuts all over her. And they're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do now? Well, all right, we'll just keep her. Then she becomes one of the really good
that worked
race
out pretty
mares.
Well.
Yes, yes, and of course one of the great races ever, Carson Hollow, and you at Saratoga. Speaking of Saratoga, and one of the great Tom Durkin calls, they made me think of that. Well, we had a horse, Chuck Simon. We had Lloyd Dobler, who colicked and had colic surgery, so he had the scar,
right,
and they came in fairly close proximity to a sale and Three Chimneys, and they couldn't sell them, and so we had they gave us a package of four horses, two that made the races, and he was cut out to be a good horse and was gorgeous. I mean, dropped out. I'll show you a picture. He just stunningly gorgeous, Smarty Jones, and unbelievable. Bred by Mrs. Chapman. As it happens. You made the weekend for so
appreciate
not,
that.
Not just, you know, not just for players who cashed for $19.86. I'm sure all the Saint X fans were cheering.
There was a lot of congratulatory texts and phone calls, and it actually took me Buff Bradley actually told us we bumped into him right after the win, and he said, don't worry about those texts. He said, you enjoy this and you can reply tomorrow. And it was a day that I don't think we'll ever forget, and hopefully we can replicate it a few times in the future. But that's one thing about the game. You never know when you're going to be there, and it was glad to be there that day. And, you know, I think there's more to come for us. It's just, the Rigneys are throwing so much at the game that if we can get a few more like her, we should be okay.
What? How the boys are? How old?
Well, Wyatt's 9. He'll be 10 in October. Lincoln just turned 8 in April, and Caroline's 6.
Okay.
We were actually in the emergency room yesterday for 4 hours with her. She broke her arm. So it was quite the long weekend. We thought Sunday was just going to be a day to rest and recharge,
yeah.
and so we my mom was nice enough to keep all three kids for the whole weekend, and we picked her up, and she had fell on a playground and it was pretty sore, so we thought maybe we can get it looked at. We called a few immediate care centers, and being Sunday, they were hemming and hawing, so we actually had our track vet shoot a couple pictures of it, and sure enough, it was great.
Oh my God, that's so great.
Yep. And it was an easy decision after that. We got to go.
Oh, that is funny. I love it. The vet, unbelievable. I mean, I you know, the vet, the vet will stitch. I'll go to the vet for it, get stitched up.
Well, it was. You know, sometimes you wait forever to not get an answer. So I said, well, if it's not broke, well, let's just.
There you go.
See if Chip will take a picture.
That's and so enough, great.
The very one, at first one he took, I just like, oh, you poor thing.
Unbelievable. She got hurt on Saturday or.
It was yesterday.
What was she doing outside in that weather?
Where?
The weather was.
No, she broke it Friday.
Oh my God.
And
so she's walking around Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, we put some ice on it. Well, my mom put some ice on it and wrapped it up and said she's not complaining about it too bad. Well, she probably sprained it. We felt terrible, but she said
that is funny.
Tough.
So, but the boys were at the none of the kids came to the track Saturday?
No. It's just so much going on.
It's too much.
I think when they get a little older.
Friday.
But still, just under 10, and it's a long day, and
yeah,
it. We celebrated when we got home. We had some ice cream last night, so it was good.
They understood. They watched and.
Oh yeah, they root us on from home and FaceTimed and stuff like that. So it was pretty special.
I love it. Well, Phil, this was really. The one that I knew I was going to look forward to being able to congratulate you in person, and I'm the first time I've stayed past Sunday, going to Nashville for Thursday and Friday for the jump race, and it occurred to me this is going to be cool. I'd be able to
this is nice,
right?
Instead, get the whole place to yourself.
Well, that too. There's not a soul around. It's a walk day for Darren Rogers and KK.
It was, it just the weather and everything. It was pretty great weekend.
I should because you're a horseman and you're here. How on the backstretch is everybody dealing with the spate of injuries and fatalities?
You know, it's never easy. I guess our frustration is it seems to always just be what anybody focuses on. You know, there's, of course you should, and it should be kind of investigated and figured out if there is issues that can avoid it. However, it shouldn't be the only news coming out of the industry, and I think that's the biggest thing, that there's so much negative energy that's put out there towards it that it just gives it such a bad name. On the flip side, you see that there's record handle and there's record attendance, and I think with the world today and media or social media, it's so many people have a voice that it kind of drowns out the people that might have good stories and stuff like that. I think if you look at any sport or anything, it's there's always turmoil and bad news. I'm sure the outfits that lost the horses are torn up about it. I mean, it's you're with these animals more than your family most of the time. So I think the public's perception of so much of the bad stuff that happens is misinterpreted, unfortunately. And it's, I'd love to see zero, but I don't know if we'll ever get to that point. I felt like we've made really good strides the last few years, even though it doesn't seem like it. You know, it seems like sides are divided and whatnot, but I do think that it's improved and it is safer, but I think you have a week like this that you need to look into it, but it's not horse racing completely.
No.
We know that because we're in it, but
it's hard to
when
it's
people
hard to
pay
explain.
Attention to a sport for a week and that's all you keep talking about, of course that's all they're going to think, but there's usually a horse race every day somewhere, and a lot of the times bad stuff doesn't happen, and I think that needs to be highlighted as well.
No concerns, you know, for your riders and your exercise riders, you know, no concerns about the track and no concerns about, you know, anything. I mean, the one thing I did hear about over the course of the 2 weeks is, you know, the pebbles, is some pebbles coming to the surface in here and there. And I suppose that, you know, that could be a frog, you know, bruise kind of a issue potentially. But other than that, I don't.
It's, I mean, I guess you knock wood, but we've had no major issues to start. I think with Derby Week itself, and we've run a lot of horses, so you know you might have a tenderfoot here, but all the phone calls to the Rigneys have been positive with horses coming out of the races in good shape, and
nice.
And both surfaces. I thought the turf course held up really well, so I think that was kind of the thorn in our side last year as far as Churchill Downs, but it looked good to me. I've run some horses over it and they've come back good, so I can't say that I've had major issues so far, and you know, it's we go to a few different tracks throughout the year, and I think you know, injuries are kind of a part of the game, so to blame it on the track all the time, I don't necessarily think it is what it is. But
well, this has been—I mean, it's in different. It's been different places, different surfaces, and the paddock. I mean, you've had two horses injured in the paddock. I mean, come on, it's
even when you say that, people are going to think, oh, well, the paddock is not designed right or something like that.
No,
I thought the paddock worked fine, and I don't know how to describe it. It's just frustrating for somebody that it's your livelihood and you love it, and just you hate to people have negative thoughts about it and just be against it. But I think with anything in life, you're going to have people that like something or don't, and that's their right. But I think we need to focus on the people in the industry and not so much listen to the people outside of it that probably don't really care about it to begin with.
Well, they've got a very clear agenda, and it's funny. You got people that you know, calling to you know, for the end of racing, and there's livelihoods here that I don't understand. I've discussed this. We go through this over and over again. And then, you know, the timing on this is what makes it so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So frustrating is that you know, here there's, you know, variety of terrific human stories and equine achievement to stress, and horsemanship to, you know, to laud, and instead you're you know, spending time, you know.
No, it's
explaining this.
It's extremely frustrating, but I think we need, as the people inside the industry, you just gotta put on your shell or however you say it, and just take the shots and keep moving forward, because it is a great industry, and it there's a lot of people involved in it, a lot of livelihoods, and you know, it trickles all the way down to I mean, you look at the state of Kentucky in general with the breeding program and all that stuff. It's our cash crop, and I think you just got to be careful who you listen to.
Well, and you know, the misinformation. Some of the members of my website. Understanding that an NBC affiliate in Delaware said on the air that 7 horses died in the Derby.
Right.
That's how it was reported. These are people that I mean, you just that'll get, you know, and that'll get circulated out, you know, like all the other, you know,
certainly. I was told this morning that I did not watch the NBC coverage because we were out here at the track,
sure.
But somebody told me that they're kind of signing off point at the end of after Derby race ran. It was a successful Derby. That their signing off point was, hey, you know, seven horses died and this sport's under the microscope, and you know, just then on a negative note, and it was unneeded, and you just wonder why and where it's coming from.
Well, that I had not even heard.
I didn't see it, so I don't know if that's accurate. Ugh. But it's what I was told, and certainly I think it should have been more of a celebrated fact that Derby was Derby. I mean, it's 149 runnings now, and it really key moment in our industry to some
every
regard.
Year. No, it's exactly. It's a challenge, Phil. Phil Bauer with us to celebrate his first grade one, and won't be the last by any stretch. The La Troyenne win on Friday. What you mentioned, I can't send you out of here. We're expecting the Mage guys to come join us here momentarily. But what about coming up this week? What do you got to have?
We got two in on Thursday.
Let's hear
Twilight
it.
Racing. The Prince's Spur, we claimed him up at Saratoga last year and ran a real good race last fall at Keeneland and kind of gave him the winter off, and horse is doing well. I think he fits really well in that spot. It's a mile and 3/16 still a other than race, and he's doing well. So got Tyler Gaffley on aboard for it, and can't really... Nothing wrong with that. So then the horse in the last is Johnny's Fireball.
You won at Saratoga last year, didn't he?
No, Warrior Johnny did.
So well, okay.
One of Richard's sons named Johnny, so he names a few of them after him. But this horse is he's always been hard knocking, but I think the drop in class and then obviously the restricted non-3, he'll fit real well. You know, it's. He's not quite a two other than horse, but sometimes when you go into those open claiming spots, the waters get deep as well. So,
yeah.
So restricting it to the horses that hadn't won three, it's always beneficial when you can try and eliminate horses that are going to be better than you. So
that allowance seventh Thursday for the Prince's Spur, $127,000 purse.
No, it's. Churchill's, I mean, things in Kentucky are rolling right now.
Big time.
And it's
wow.
It's nice to call it home, and it, you know, it's helped us out as horsemen and obviously horse owners too, that you can hopefully try and keep your head above water a little easier. But it's wild that it's gotten to this point, but it's certainly not that we don't appreciate it. We're glad to be here and able to participate, and hopefully it sticks around for many years to come.
Well, and nice to be, you know, nice that as opposed to some people in certain regions of the country that have had to relocate, I mean, this is home, and so it's, you know, it's nice to be right here. You know, obviously, one thing to send horses to, you know, come to Saratoga summers, and plenty of Kentucky outfits have been doing that for a long time, including Margot and Kenny.
Yep.
But you know, Ellis, you could.
It'll be interesting to
right?
see what's going on with Ellis now that Churchill purchased it, and you would think that their purse structure would see some resemblance to what's going on to the rest of them. I mean, Turfway Winter Racing was the purses offered there were great, and. I would have to think Ellis would be given a bump from what it's been, and I think it's all the better. You know, you might be able to leave some horses here that can pick up some good money being here as well.
Phil Bauer, everybody, and as popular a win as there was all weekend.
Thank you very much. It was It was a day I'll never forget, and just a lot of emotions that, you know, carry us for a while, for sure.
Now, it makes the work, it makes all the effort, you know, feel like it's worthwhile.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. I think the barn, everybody in the barn's just recharged, and it was pretty spectacular.
And there'll be many more. Phil Bauer, everybody, and I'm forgetting your, Phil, what was it, Bauer Racing? What, or what's your?
Rigney Racing.
Rigney Racing, that's yep. right, under the...
yeah, that's
Twitter.
Richard and Tammy Rigney, and but then...
Do they handle the, who handles the, on Twitter?
Oh, I'm not a social media guy.
Right,
I should get involved with it, but I'm... I want to say there's a Rigney Racing Facebook page.
I think there is, too. I think there is.
But maybe I should grab the bull by the horns with that. And
big time. Come on.
Be a little more vocal, but like we talked earlier, I think there's too many people in the world today that have a voice that don't need it. And social media kind of is the highway for that. But it is. There's a lot of positive in it, too. So maybe I'm just being... old-fashioned or something. I don't know.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with it. I love it. Phil, well done. And my there's a chance I'm back this summer for one of the big race dates, but if not, then Saratoga.
Always great all seeing right? you, and thanks for having me on.
Not at all. I was looking forward to this tremendously. Phil Bauer and Ashley and the Rigneys, Rigney Racing, and you know, when you operate as a private trainer, it you're focused, and just to see, you know, to see the productivity, come to full bloom with a win like Friday's in the La Troyenne. With Played Hard, that makes it all worthwhile. Let's take a break here, and Ramiro Restopo is going to join us next, and we will get the Mage celebration going. Back in this room 48 hours later, it's much more sedate and empty than when they were up on the stage with Javi and Gustavo Senior and Junior. We'll talk to the man who picked out Mage, and we'll tell the story of the Derby win next, hour three at the races, still at the Downs for another couple of days. Stay with us, Sirius XM at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second